Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kurt Hahn, CEO and founder of S3 Productions on Blog Talk Radio. We are live, sort of. We're doing a voice recording at the March Airfield Museum. I have Patricia Cortez, director, and Gordon
Bergsley,
one of the docents here. And we thought we would take a few minutes and just chat about the museum, stories. This place is full of stories. I'm here with my co-host Armando Sanchez of Armando F. Sanchez Productions. Armando, if you want to introduce yourself.
I am just honored, thrilled to be here. We're doing several podcast shows here. Gary Powers Jr., we're going to do that show as well. And we just had Colonel Hal Austin in another show. But this one we want to know about what a wonderful location this is. I've driven by here. It's near Riverside. It's about 5 minutes from downtown. It's just a fantastic location. Tons of displays. It's just a wonderful, welcoming environment. And with that, let's move on with Patricia and have her tell us about the museum and what this is all about.
Well, thank you for listening. Our museum has been undergoing a real transformation in the last 8 years. We recently became accredited by the American Alliance of Museums in two years ago, which was a big deal for us because out of all the accredited museums, only 11 are air and space museums. So we are now in the league with Wright-Patterson, the San Diego Air and Space Museum, some of the real major players. What we've been doing over the past 9 years is developing a storyline within the museum, so we're telling more of a story, and we're using our aircraft and our artifacts to tell this. So no longer do you come in and just see a random sampling of different aircraft, but now they're themed in different areas, Cold War, reconnaissance, cargo planes, things like that. The interior of the museum, we have a lot of new exhibit space. The majority of the exhibit space is now climate controlled, which is really important because these artifacts will be saved for perpetuity. We have over 80 aircraft on display. We have 29,000 artifacts in storage, and at any one time probably have about 1,500 artifacts on display other than the aircraft. Lots of great programs here. We do Saturday briefings in the summer. Very strong docent program. We couldn't operate without the docents. We have a staff of 8 and a docent volunteer team of around 180. And they are a godsend to us because they are the people that will greet people at the entrance. They do our tram tours. They do our dome presentations in our mobile planetarium. They go out to the schools for us. And they're basically a bunch of really nice people who are very eager to share aviation and their experiences with us.
Greg, I understand you're a teacher.
That's correct.
In your other life?
I am.
As a teacher in my other life, and Armando's a retired teacher. Tell me about how a teacher got being here.
Okay. Well, I tell our visitors all the time that I'm nothing that they expect me to be. I'm not a veteran. I'm not a pilot. I've never worked in the aerospace industry. I've been a high school teacher throughout my professional career, but I've been interested in aviation literally since I can remember. While the neighborhood kids were out riding their bikes and playing ball, I was probably holed up in my room building my airplane models and
building your own Air Force.
Yes, and reading everything I could get my hands on about flyers in the World Wars and in Korea. So this is something that's very much in my DNA.
Yeah. And obviously, you must be on summer vacation. I take it. So
I
you're
am.
Okay. What do you do as a docent?
I'm an ambassador for our museum. I want to make sure that everybody who walks in the door is greeted. I want to make sure that they're invited to ask questions about anything and everything they see in our facility. I want to thank them for coming when they leave. And I'll roam around the museum and ask people if they have questions and answer those questions to the best of my ability. Love giving tram tours out on our flight line. Just finished up one of those a few minutes ago, and it's just tremendously rewarding to share.
Tram tour. Now that's something I hadn't heard of here. How does that work?
Okay. We have a little electric tram that can accommodate 11 passengers. We sell tickets for $3 per person, and we'll take our visitors around the flight line outside and explain a little bit about each aircraft. It takes about 30-35 minutes.
Cool. Because I didn't know that. What do you, going back, because I'm a teacher and I say he's a retired, what do you teach at the high school level?
This fall, I'll have three sections of government and economics and two sections of U.S. history.
And I ask that question specifically because Armando is a retired government econ teacher. I'm a shop teacher on electronics computers. And what started this whole thing, as a side note, was he came over my room one day with a question about something. And everybody thought he was nuts because how dare you walk from one side of the field over to the
shop areas.
And that's kind of what started this whole thing. So you went from you're a government econ teacher to a aviation buff. Believe it or not, do you find the two related?
Every once in a while, there's some commonality, yeah. Yeah. They're not mutually exclusive by any means.
Now, you know, let's talk teacher to teacher for a moment, and being that we're both in the social sciences areas. My personal opinion, I'll share first of all, I don't think we're doing a very good job of covering World War II, the Cold War. I don't think we're doing a very good job of getting our students to understand the involvement, the participation, the difficulty of being in aviation. And not to take away anything from the Navy and Merchant Marines and all the other services, but for one person to get inside one of these things and fly, you know, Mach 2, Mach 3, and put their lives on the line, go almost at this point of almost being in space, some of the U-2 pilots and some of the SR pilots are now suffering from eye damage, radiation exposure being so far up, etc. You know, what can you and I sort of agree on that we need to get that message across as to our peers?
Armando, there's no question that we can always do a better job presenting information to our young people, and particularly as the World War II generation fades into history. It's so important that we tell their stories. One of the things that is a major thrust in my class is primary source documents. There is no substitute for hearing about what happened from the people who were there. And from time to time, I have brought in members of history's original cast to speak to my students. It's increasingly difficult, of course, to bring in World War II veterans. When I was a young teacher, I typically had a friend of mine who had been a B-17 gunner come in and talk to my students. I had a friend who served in the 10th Mountain Division with Senator Dole come in and talk to the kids. Had a dear friend who had been in the Marine Corps during World War II. He'd actually run away from home and lied about his age to join the Marine Corps in World War II. Sadly, all of those gentlemen have passed away now. I have another friend who was a B-47 pilot during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I've had him come in and talk to my students. And that's just a very special a way to look at history, to hear about it from the people who were there.
And I think it's really okay for the students, and again, we're talking to our peers as well, to require our students to find a veteran and do an interview, as
Absolutely.
You say. And it can be family member, can be beyond that. And if there's an opportunity to go to a local museum, such a wonderful one like this one, and say, you know, can I interview someone from here, I think you're going to get a positive response.
Absolutely. And, you know, volunteers, We can't operate without them. There's no one in the world that can have a budget big enough to hire everybody to keep a place operational. And you will find that the majority of museums in this country and abroad rely on the volunteers. But we like to also feel that we give the volunteers an opportunity to utilize their skills, especially retired people, who often, rather than, I'm not saying they all sit home and watch game shows, but I know my mom does, but she won't hear this. But I think what it does is, especially some of our older volunteers, it gives them a reason to come in, explain their experiences, and really contribute in a way that they probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to do in another way. And that's why we really, really love our volunteers. We also are developing a new group of young volunteers on the weekends, kids from high school. I know you're going to be speaking to one in a moment, who we're bringing up through the ranks, training them. I know Gordon is doing some training with one in particular, and you're going to be speaking to Brandon in a second. That they're tag teaming and learning from each other. So these kids are learning good social skills, they're learning responsibility, and they're contributing. And it's a great line on their resume when they're going to college or if they're looking for a job that they've done some volunteerism.
And I think I want to emphasize, like Gordon brings up that point, you don't have to have a background, i.e. in aviation, to be a volunteer. You learn it. You come in here and you open up and you facilitate. And the thing is that a lot of people don't know. We think, okay, you go to a museum, there's a lot of things just sitting here that are old. But you don't realize, as a volunteer, how many people you're going to meet. You never know who's going to come in through that door. It could be ex-presidents and ambassadors. You just never know who you're going to meet one day.
That's very true. And especially in the summertime, we have a tremendous amount of visitors from Europe who are on vacation. In the course of a day, you can hear 5 or 6 different languages spoken here.
Easily.
French, German. We have some volunteers that can speak different languages. We also have a volunteer that can do signing for deaf people. So we do a special tours for that, and he's not here today. But I think what's exciting, and a lot of the volunteers say, I just spoke to somebody from France. I just spoke to somebody from England. And that also makes their day, and that chance to interact with an international crowd is quite welcome to most people.
We had some visitors from France yesterday.
We did.
I know this is a silly question, but I got to ask anyway. Have you ever had anybody walk in and look at a exhibit and go, I flew that, or
yesterday.
I did that,
yesterday.
Or I built that, or I...
We had a gentleman come through yesterday who had flown our B-52 in combat in Southeast Asia in 1972.
That B-52?
That one.
Wow. Wow.
Oh my God.
I bet that made everybody's heart go.
Yeah. This is such a rewarding experience, as you never know when you're going to have opportunities like that or experiences like that.
Do you find working with the public, do you find individuals all of a sudden looking at something and feeling emotional about it, start sharing with the family, and the family look at them and says, I didn't know that?
That has happened, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in the Vietnam fire base, we've had several men go through and really start to have recollections, break down, cry. Their family don't know what's going on. They have flashbacks. It happens, I'd say, quite a bit around here. We have a lot of Vietnam vets that are volunteers here who are able to deal with that. But we've seen it especially in that area, I would say.
And it's powerful stuff.
It really is.
You have a tram line I didn't know about, and I have a fire base too. We may never get out of here today.
We close at 4. I can't afford the overtime.
I'm in enough trouble anyway. My wife's going to a wedding that I'm supposed to be at today, and obviously I'm not there. So, yeah. So if I'm late getting home, it's how much more trouble can I get into?
About how many, and this is sort of a general question, about how many different aircraft museums do we have in Southern California? And that's an open-ended question.
Yeah. He's counting on his fingers.
Right off the top of my head, without actually sitting down and counting them, there are probably between 5 and 10 aviation museums in the Los Angeles and San Diego areas.
Well, you know, does Edwards Air Force Base have one?
Yes.
It's open to the public as well?
I understand that you have to make
reservations,
special arrangements, because it's not readily accessible to the public. I understand that it's on base, and I
right.
toss in that I have not visited that museum, so
right.
I'm no expert.
I know China Lake has one that I briefly stopped at, but unfortunately it was closed and also very windy. But I know just in doing research for this, I found two that I didn't know existed. One was the Yanks Museum and the other was the Lion Museum. And I didn't know they were there.
Did you know Plains of Fame?
Yes.
Okay, because Yanks is right near the Plains of Fame. And we do some collaborations with some of the other museums. We're working on perhaps in the next year or so some of us offering a ticket that would work for a lot of the air museums to build our leadership and membership.
Well, if we get invited by those museums and contacted us at your email or mine, we're both on Facebook, Armando Sanchez, and LinkedIn, and I know you are. We'd be more than happy to consider going down there.
Well, I know, not to plug another museum, but I've been in contact with Plains of Fame to get my flag flown there, just because that's one of the other things that I do is fly my flag. What is your vision for the museum?
Well, our vision is to continue on the path that we've started. We are really focusing on education in the next 5 years and adding an educator to our staff who will be able to develop some after-school programs, some weekend workshops for children. But we truly believe that we can really help the education system in California by offering this. And what we're also hoping to do is to also engage young ladies in going into science and math and becoming astronauts and engineers, because it was a field that was pretty much close to them for a long time. So I know next year we have a group of women educators that are trying to help us get a woman astronaut here for a talk to bring in a lot of these young ladies. But we see the focus really going towards education, developing some strong programming around it, and continuing to collect the great artifacts that we have here.
I did an interview with Ochoa. And they asked her, yes, I did. I went through NASA, and I went through the process, and she was very, very supportive. And we got to work together and get her down here.
Yes, you do. Unfortunately, you have some ways to do it better than I do. Unfortunately, to get an astronaut, you have to work through NASA. It's a whole procedural thing. We've tried a few times and ended up slightly disappointed, so we're going to try it again. But if you certainly have some connections that I don't, I would appreciate it.
I don't think she's at NASA anymore.
It doesn't matter. Once you're an astronaut, right, they've got you.
we'll work on it. We'll give NASA their 5 cents worth in terms of exposure. But I did go through the process, and I was able to interview her. But I'm thinking of her already.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of doing these road shows is you find, as I've said before, the circles. You start talking, oh, I know, and then, yeah, we gotta do another show here pretty soon. Again, any final words for anybody?
Well, I think people need to come out and take a look at what we have and see the programming. It's a full-day visit. You will be really impressed. And I have to say that volunteers and the staff are really, really dedicated. This is their lives, and they really enjoy it. And I think it shows when you visit and you see the quality of what's going on here right now with our personnel and also with our exhibits and displays.
And Gordon, any last comment or two?
This is a world-class collection, a world-class facility. Anybody, even with a passing interest in aviation, will find this a very, very rewarding experience, and we welcome them to our museum.
Okay, well.
Well, with that, we want to give out some contact information of how persons can find more information about here, please.
The best way to find out information is to go onto our website, which is updated daily. You can also like us on Facebook, which we do Facebook updates daily also. Our website is www.marchfield.org. Very easy to find on the web, complete listing of programs, things coming up. And you won't be disappointed. You can also sign up to be on our email list. We do email blasts during the week about upcoming events and special things that are going on.
Thank you. Gordon, any last word or two?
Come see us at the Marchfield Air Museum.
Cool. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to say thank to both of you for joining us. I'm going to sign off now. This will be rebroadcast at a later date. And again, my name is Kurt Hahn, CEO and founder of S3 Productions on Blog Talk Radio. And with that, we're going to say goodbye.